We worship your name because you are worthy. You are worthy. You are worthy. We love you, Jesus, because you loved us first. Our sin was great, but your love was greater. Nothing is impossible with you. We declare that in this place today. We declare that in Red Deer. We declare that in our nation. Nothing is impossible with you. Jesus, we lift up your name. We glorify you. You are worthy. Amen.
There's a funky little black truck out here in the parking lot that has its lights on. Yeah, they'll go off, but it might be easier if you turn them off first. But anyways, yeah, it's just right out here in the parking lot. It's a cool little black truck, dressed up a little bit. It's got its lights on. Welcome everybody here to... Thank you for joining us as our desire is to worship the King, to lift up the name of Jesus, and we're glad that you're here to do that with us. There's a, Crystal, do you want to talk about the girls' retreat coming up? There's a retreat coming up that I can't go to.
Yeah, we're having a women's retreat March 3 to 5, and I'm excited about it. The name of it is Who Am I Really? Okay, so we want to get into who our real identity is. And anyway, so I'm excited about it, and I hope you are too, women. it does cost $100, but if that's a problem for you, come see me. We'll work something out, okay? And so what the thing is, since March 3 to 5 is coming up quite quickly, we kind of have to get numbers pretty soon. So could we maybe in the next week and a half, something like that, could you just, even if you can give me your registration and money later or whatever you want to do, we're easy. Okay? So, it's going to be fun. So there's going to be fellowship. It'll be just really community building. So sometimes we just don't know each other very well, and this is a great time. We laugh together, we cry together, we praise God together. So it's really going to be a powerful time, but it's only powerful if you come. So come. Thanks.
Girls have all the fun. So on Wednesday night, the girls were here at the building. Chad, you got something for the... He does. So the girls met here on Wednesday night, and they called it Spring Fever Night. And quick little video apparently, and some photos.
I love it.
funny. So they're goofing off like this on Wednesday here this past week, and they're shooting for another one in a few months. So yeah, keep your ears open for that. Again, I can't go. I wasn't invited. But the girls can go. Oh, we'll crash in the next one, Doug says. Yeah, no. Anyway, seriously, we're here to honor Jesus Christ as Lord, honor Jesus Christ as our Savior, as our Redeemer, to worship Him as the one who has forgiven us and has brought us into the kingdom of light. And I just want to say that after the service, as we're concluding, there will be an opportunity for you to come and meet with people that would be ready and willing to pray with you, because life isn't always great. And, you know, sometimes we're packing regrets from the past. We're packing hurts from people that were supposed to love us. Sometimes we're packing hurts because we've been neglected or forgotten or beat up physically, emotionally. Anyway, we will make ourselves available to pray with you and to bless you in the name of Jesus. And it's not because we are any different, but Jesus Christ has made a difference for us and continues to do that. And you are not forgotten. You will have an opportunity here to pray with us too. So after the service, there will be folks here for that to help you with that. And I don't know what Stan has planned, but there's maybe today you know that this is the day that you need to give your life to Christ. Maybe that's been on your heart for a while already. And if so, be obedient to that. We were praying ahead of time that the Holy Spirit would move in this place and that He would have His way with us. Well, let Him. If you can feel and you know that God is calling to you and you've been resisting Him, maybe today is the day that you give your life to Christ. Maybe it's right here and now today. So dwell on that thought. Stan, come on up. Yeah. God, thank you for Stan. Thank you, God, for your church. Thank you, God, for your Holy Spirit. Thank you for the people that are here, God. We do want to hear from you, God. We want your words, God, to sink into our heart. Lord, come and minister to us. We thank you for the anointing on Stan, and God, we thank you that you will speak through him. I thank you, God, that you know us. You know us, you see us, you hear us. You have known us all along, and you love us. Thank you, God, for caring for us. You're a good God. Bless your holy name. In Jesus we pray. Amen.
Good worship. Good to just join together as brothers and sisters. It does seem, though, like the women are having all the fun. They get together Wednesday. Yeah, that was a bit of an embarrassing video, I got to say, though. Wow. Okay. We need to practice that one at home, maybe, you know. You keep saying the kids get all their athletic ability from you, but... girls are having lots of fun, and we are too. Maybe we need to get together on that Saturday night and have an HNIC retreat. Hockey night in Canada, guys. You want to come over? The girls won't be around, so we'll get together at my place. It will cost $100. If you can't afford it, talk to me, yeah. Oh, man. Okay. You know, one place where the guys really are, though, and some of you don't know this, is that they're here Sunday nights. We have more men coming to our prayer group. The last few weeks, we've had like 12 guys and one lady, two ladies. So, yeah. So if you're looking to meet a guy, you know, show up Sunday night. Lots of guys there. They're prayer warriors. And we won't be there tonight because Crystal and I are heading to BC, but we just invite you to come to prayer meeting on Sunday night. It's a great time. It's only an hour. It's a time when we get to bring our requests before God, and many of you get prayed for on Sunday nights. We try to pray for people by name. We try to spend most of the time just praying, not talking a lot. We can talk other times. Is it cold in here? Can we shut that, pull the rock away from that door? Would you mind doing that, someone? I don't know who put the rock there, but. So I just invite you to do that, and how's your ear doing? Good, I've been praying for you. So you're receiving some healing there? Amen, amen. That's awesome. God, we thank you for this time. We thank you that you're present here. Thank you for worship. Thank you that you are a good shepherd and you watch over your sheep. And that you brought us here for this day, on this particular day, for a reason. You want us to learn more about you. You want us to draw close to you. That you have a message. That you want to remind us today of your amazing love for us. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you that you are a God who restores, and that we've been bought. We've been paid for through your precious blood, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you for this family, for the church family, for the brothers and sisters who make up this community. Thank you for Potter's Hands and for how you grow us closer to you. And God, we just want to humble and quiet our hearts before you today. And ask you, God, to show us and to teach us the things that you really want us to know. We come here this morning with all kinds of different things going on in our lives, different situations, different struggles, different brokenness, different pain, but we come to the same God. And we ask you, Jesus, that today your arms will be just big and you'll surround us and shepherd us and love us. Thank you, God. And for, just like Don said, anyone who just isn't sure and they want to be sure, we pray, God, for that opportunity. And thank you that your word makes it very clear that all that you ask, all that you require, is that we repent and that we believe. So may that be true today among us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. John chapter 10, if you have your Bibles. John chapter 10, and it's a fairly familiar story. Story about the shepherd and the sheep and the thief and how Jesus, as a shepherd, takes care of us. We're going to look at that today. I want to begin reading with verse 7. So Jesus is talking to his disciples. This is the Gospel of John, chapter 10. And he's reminding them that not everyone who shares or not everyone who teaches is really from God. That not everyone is from him. That the only way is through Jesus. There's no other way. So we're going to read that starting in verse 7, John 10, verse 7. Therefore, Jesus said again, I tell you the truth, I am the gate for the sheep. All who ever came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate, and whoever enters through me will be saved. Amen? Okay. He will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. And I have come that they may have life and they may have it to the full. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd who owns the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and he runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and he cares nothing for the sheep. But I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep, and they are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also, for they too will listen to my voice. And there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father. And at these words, the Jews were again divided. Many of them said, "He is demon-possessed. He is raving mad. Why listen to him?" But others said, "These are not the sayings of a man possessed by a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind?" And then came the Feast of Dedication at Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was in the temple area, walking in Solomon's colonnade. And the Jews gathered around him, saying, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly." And Jesus answered, "I did tell you, but you do not believe. The miracles I do in my Father's name speak for me, but you do not believe because you are not my sheep. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them from out of my hand." Yeah. "My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand, for I and the Father are one." You say amen? Amen. I'm just feeling led today to pray again. I know we've prayed 2 or 3 times already, but I don't know that you can pray too much. So I'm going to pray because I bind the enemy. I believe that, you know, there's a war going on all the time, and he doesn't want us to hear this message. He doesn't want us to hear, you know, the kind of ways that he wars against us. He doesn't want there to be freedom in this place. He does not want there to be the opportunity for people to come to Jesus. So would you just do this with me? Let's join our hearts together. And in the name of Jesus, we pray for peace and for freedom here. And we bind the powers of the enemy. Like, we've been given that authority. Jesus, you promised us in your word we have the authority to bind the enemy. And so we do that. We bind the enemy in the name of Jesus. We bind any of his influences. We bind any of the leverage that he might have in our lives. We bind distraction. We bind just a spirit of discord or disunity. Lord, whatever offenses that we bring into this place right now, we say that they are dead. And we lay them down in the name of Jesus, and we release, in the power of the Spirit of God, we release the freedom of Jesus Christ, and we release the power of Jesus to save. And we release the power of Jesus to open his arms and to love us into his kingdom as his sheep. So we just set free through the power of the word of God and through the power of the blood of Jesus, the freedom of the Holy Spirit. And we bind up the enemy so that he has no voice. He has no place here. Only Jesus is here. Only Jesus, our King, reigns. And we declare this in the name of our Savior Jesus. Amen. The enemy, it says, comes, or the thief, I should say, verse 10. We know this verse. We quote this a lot. I don't know if they quote this a lot in a lot of other churches. I think some do and some don't. But chapter 10, or verse 10 says, "The thief comes only to steal and to kill and destroy." The thief comes only to steal and kill and to throw and to destroy. And just the first question I want to ask is, so who's the thief? The devil, Satan, enemy, and the answer are wrong. That's not actually exactly the truth. We're going to get to it. Just hang on. Don't get all excited. Don't get excited. That's not really what, I mean, we're going to get to that. Yes, yes, Satan is a thief. But actually what Jesus is saying here, if you read this parable or the story that Jesus tells in context, really the thief is not primarily, he's secondarily, but he's not primarily Satan. The thief is the false teachers. And that's the context of all of these verses, all these chapters. Chapter 9 talked about the spiritual blindness of the Pharisees. It talked about how, you know, all these leaders were trying to show the people other ways to get to God, other ways to get to heaven. And that's why Jesus says, he starts it by saying, "I tell you the truth, the man who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, he is the thief." Okay? He is a thief. He is the robber. So the thief that Jesus is talking about here, the thieves are false teachers, And this was a big deal, probably a bigger deal than we understand, that there were false teachers, there were leaders, there were Sadducees, there were Pharisees, there were elders, there were priests who were teaching the people wrong theology, wrong teaching, and it wasn't about Jesus, and it wasn't about the grace of God through Christ. There was just a false teaching. And a lot of the false teaching, and believe me, there's a lot of it still today, a lot of that false teaching was self-serving. The teaching was to manipulate people. The teaching was for the esteem of the leaders themselves, so they would grow in popularity, grow in wealth, grow in number, but it wasn't really about Jesus, and it wasn't really about God. And so I'm pointing this out because it's important that we recognize it, that Jesus is fiercely opposed to false teaching. This is not a little deal. This is a big deal. He fiercely opposes the false teachers, and he says, be on guard. Watch out for them because they are wolves. They don't seem like it. They seem innocuous. They seem pretty harmless, but they are very harmful, and they can destroy the church. They can destroy your life, and they're trying. And again, it is Satan, but the point is, it's Satan, but he is doing this through other agents, right? So is Satan a thief? Well, of course he's a thief. We know he's a thief, but he steals through other agents. Very rarely does Satan come up to us and say, hey, guess what? I'm going to rob your life. I'm Satan. Let me just take everything you've got. I'm going to make sure you're bankrupt. So I'm Satan. Let me introduce myself. You know, that's not how he works. How he works is through people we trust, or people who have gained our trust, or through false teachers, or through friends or family, or people we think are going to tell us the right thing, but they're not telling us the right thing. You understand that? Is Satan a thief? Absolutely, he's a thief. Last week, Mark preached on the story of the sower and the seed. Remember? And the seed gets sown. And what does it say there? It says there that some people, and this is in Mark 4, some people are like seed along the path where the word is sown. As soon as they hear it, now get this, Satan comes and takes away the word. Is he a thief? Of course he's a thief. And he is behind this. And it's okay to say that Satan comes as a thief who comes to steal and kill and destroy. But I think it's also important that we understand the context. We understand the verses and the chapters that surround John chapter 10 and understand that really what Jesus is talking about here is the false teaching and how Satan is behind them. And he's using false teaching to get us so that we're led astray and so that we're no longer following Jesus. Am I losing this? Am I coming in and out on that or... No, I feel like my microphone's coming off. No, it is. I might need a battery. I might need a lot of things, but I'm pretty sure I need a battery. So are you following that? Is he a thief? Getting here. What's that? Yeah. What did God really say you couldn't eat from any of the trees of the garden? And what does he do? He steals the garden, right? They lose their place, their home. They lose their place with God because they listen to him. He is a thief. Of course he's a thief. We see right from the very beginning, in the very first few chapters in Genesis, that he steals the position that Adam and Eve have with God. He steals that amazingly intense personal relationship that they have with their Lord. They walked with their God in the cool of the evening. They talked. They chatted with God. But when Satan got his grubby paws in, he stole all of that. So don't go home today saying, guess what? Pastor Stan doesn't think that Satan is a thief. I didn't say that. What I said was that in John chapter 10, we need to understand the context because there are false teachers and there are people who will manipulate you and who will try to get you to understand or try to get you to believe that there's another way to God other than through Jesus Christ. Ricky, is there any other way to God but through Jesus? No. Thank you. There's no other way. The only way, the only truth, the only life is Jesus Christ. And he wants to steal that from you. And this morning, we want to spend a little time sort of doing an inventory of our lives. Lynn, are you staying or are you leaving? Because I need you back here a little later, okay? So I'll call you back. Okay, you go ahead and leave. I'll tell you why later. She's going to go home, but now she can't even go home probably. Just kidding. So we're going to do an inventory on our lives. I want you to think this morning about what's been stolen from your life. And I really believe that if we take some time and you start looking back over your life, now I know this is true for me. I think it's probably true for all of us. But you start looking back over your life, there's a lot of things that have been stolen. Now, sometimes it's actual people. You maybe have lost someone, or have you lost friends, or maybe it's your reputation that's been stolen. Maybe it's money or years. How many of us, don't put your hands up, but you know, how many of us have lost years to the locusts? We've lost years. We've lost time. We've spent time, you know, doing all kinds of other things. We've wasted our lives because it's been stolen. Those years have been stolen from us. Maybe it's your own children. There's people here who you don't have a relationship with, maybe just a few of your children, maybe all of them anymore. That's been stolen from you. The question I just want you to think about today, because Satan is that ultimate thief. What has he stolen? What has he taken from you? Because he's like a pickpocket, you know? He bumps into you, and before you know it, you're missing your wallet. And you don't know where it is. He's taken it. And that's really the nature of Satan. He is evil. We know that. He's a deceiver. He's a liar. You know, that's one of the words that's used for Satan more than anything else. He's a deceiver and a liar. And he wants to just bump into you and steal something from your life. And let's be clear about this. He still wants to do that in your life, even if you've given your heart to Jesus. It's not like he's done trying to steal from you. He will still try to steal from you, and he'll push you, and he'll try to find a way for you to stumble if you open yourself up to that. And that's a big part of it. Are you opening yourself up to it? Are we allowing him to have that place in our lives? Are we making our pockets available so that he can stick his pilfering fingers in your pocket? Right? He'll take your purse if you let him, because he's a snatcher. He's a snatcher. And sometimes Satan does that slowly, right? Sometimes, you know, I don't know if you ever had that before, but sometimes you go through your life and you do an inventory and you start thinking about what has happened in my life, and you just kind of, all of a sudden you realize, you go, whoa, I lost a lot here. I didn't even realize how much has been taken from me. I never really, until I actually thought about it, it never really dawned on me how much he's been pilfering from my life a little bit by little bit. He's like a bad accountant. You know, he just keeps sort of taking a little bit here and a little bit there, and the next thing you know, man, you're missing a whole lot. He's stolen a whole lot from my life. Sometimes, in fact, maybe most often, that's how this works. Other times, the thievery happens all at once. And it's just some event. And some of you are thinking about it right now. Something's happened in your life. Some really hard thing. Some decision you made or some mistake you made. And in one action, in one thing that's happened, you have, all of a sudden you realize, I have lost so much here. He has stolen so much from my life. And we're going to get to this. I know you're going to want to hear this. We're going to get to Jesus. Don't worry if you think he's just going to talk about Satan all morning. I have no interest in talking about Satan all morning. We're going to get to Jesus. We're going to talk about how Jesus restores. We're going to talk about how he pays back what the locusts have stolen from us, that this is a biblical truth. But I want to start today by talking about five things, or five ways that Satan steals from us. And the first thing that Satan loves to steal, the first thing that Satan loves to steal from people is our innocence. We saw that back in the garden too, right? I mean, there's so much that we can learn in that story of Adam and Eve, but what did he steal? Mostly he stole their innocence. He stole the fact that they were pure and that they had this wonderful walk with God. He stole that relationship that Adam and Eve had with God. They had a relationship like we don't even have. One day, I don't know if you're looking forward to this as much as I am, one day that relationship is going to be restored again, and I'm going to walk with my God. I'm going to walk hand in hand with my Jesus. But But in the terms of this life, in the terms of what we experience, Satan has stolen something from all of us that we'll never get back until the day that Jesus returns and the day that we are back in a pure, sinless relationship with God. He likes to steal our innocence. Some of you lost that innocence a long time ago. Sometimes he steals that innocence when we're children. He steals our childhood, and I know that's true for you too. And so when you're thinking about the things that have been stolen from you or what the thief has taken, some of you know that that's true in your life. He stole your childhood. He stole your innocence, because that's what he does. He steals. And he wants us to, you know, he wants us to fall into temptation. It's his mode of operation. And like he did with Adam and Eve, he just suggests things. And we aren't particularly bright. Maybe I should just speak for myself. But we're sometimes prone to his suggestions. It's kind of like there's all these doors, right? That's the way I see it. He opens it. He says, there's a door. Would you like to see what's inside? And we go, yeah, that'd be great. Don't look what's inside, right? God said, don't look what's inside. Don't be going through these doors, but we're prone to these suggestions. And Satan goes, well, here's a door. Why don't you try this one? And sometimes before we even know it, we've gone into a door and suddenly there's all this regret and we have lost our innocence. Does anyone understand what I'm talking about today? Let me put it in this way, that somewhere along the line, again, you don't need to put your hand up, but I think we can all put our hands up on this. You've gone through a door. Somewhere 20 years ago, or maybe it was yesterday, you walked through a door. You shouldn't have walked through that door. You really actually knew better because your conscience told you not to do this. You walked through a door and you've regretted it, right? And because that happened, something got stolen from you. Something inherent, something deep in your soul was stolen from you because he's a thief. And that something is your innocence. He wants to steal your innocence. There's an old Bob Seger song that goes something like, we're running against the wind, running against the wind. I'm older now, but I'm still running against the wind. And one of the lines in that song says, I wish I didn't know now what I didn't know then. And that song, that line's always grabbed me. I didn't know it then, but now I know it. Sometimes I wish I didn't know what I know. You guys get that too? Right? I wish I didn't know. I wish I still had that naivety. There's something nice, something precious about that innocence. There really is. And know this today, that Satan really loves to show us doors, and every one of those doors is corruption. Whether it's the corruption of drugs or sex, or pride, or greed, and he's just standing there saying, can I show you what's inside? Just take a look. Just take a quick peek. And a lot of times, here's the bad part, a lot of times we're kind of standing around each other going, yeah, try it. You want to take a look? Why don't you take a look? Come on. We've all done it. Yes, she's ready to, Crystal's ready to go for it here, right? We're just egging each other on sometimes, right? We're egging each other on. So why don't you try it? You go. Open the door. And whatever the door is, it can be gambling, it can be anger, whatever it is, there's some measure of corruption. And Satan says, if I can just get you, if I can just get you to walk through that door, I will be able to steal your innocence. And that's what I want to do. I want to steal your innocence. The second thing that he likes to steal is your identity. He really likes to steal our identity. Who are we? We're children of God. I'm a child of the one true King, Jesus Christ. Amen? You can clap. Come on. There you go. When you do that, then I know you're alive, okay? I'm a child of the one true King. What Satan wants to do is he wants to steal our identity. And he does that by making us believe that we are what we've done. We are identified by the doors that we've walked through. We're identified by the mistakes that we've made. And sometimes, you know, the false teachers actually support that in our lives. They tell us the same thing. You are what you've done. You are merely, you are just a sinner. You don't add up to anything. Your identity as a child of the one true King. Your identity as pure in the garden like Adam and Eve. That doesn't count anymore. Now you are just an addict. Or now you are just an angry man. Right? Whatever it is, he likes to put labels on us and he likes to steal our real identity and say, here's your new identity. Here's your new identity. You're a drunk. You're a whore. Whatever it is, he says, that's who you are, and this is your new identity. Even though that's not true. You following me? He wants to steal your identity. He wants you to believe that you are what you've done. No, that's not true. We're going to talk about Jesus in a bit, how Jesus changed all that, right? He says, I give you a brand new identity. I'm going to make you have a whole new self. I love that word. I give you a whole new self through my blood. But if you're listening to Satan, who is a thief and who wants to steal and kill and destroy, he's going to keep telling you, no, you are still that worthless loser of a person. You are nothing. Your only identity is the sin that you've done. Thank Jesus that he has removed that from us as far as the east is from the west, right? He steals our essence is what that really is. Who you really are, what your name is. Right? Instead of having the name that is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, he says, no, you're an adulterer. That's your name. Or you're a fill in the blank, right? Whatever your blank is. And you know what it is, because we've all had doors that we've gone through that we shouldn't have gone through. So he steals our identity. He wants to steal our identity. He's a thief. The third thing is he wants to steal your joy. Anyone, you can raise your hand. Anyone had this before where you know Satan's trying to steal your joy? Okay, 16 of us. That's good. Thank God for the rest of you who've never experienced this because it's an awful thing to experience. He wants to steal our joy. He doesn't want us to be filled with joy. Well, that's right, because he says, the joy of the Lord is my strength, right? So he takes that strength away when we believe his lies about the joy. He wants us not to have that deep-seated joy in our lives. And that's what joy is. Joy is not just fun. Joy is not just a thrill. Real joy is what's deep inside of us. It's what flows out of my life. And here's how I always know. Here's how I always know whether he's trying to steal my joy, because it's always connected to my gratitude. When I am struggling with joy in my life, it's usually when I'm not very grateful. And I'm not walking around through the day going, thank you, Jesus. Wow, what a beautiful sunset. Or that guy just encouraged me. Thank you, Lord, for my sons. Thank you, Jesus. You know, when I'm doing that, I got joy. Because joy is connected to my gratitude, right? Thank you, Lord. Thank you for these people. Thank you for my beautiful wife. Thank you, Jesus. There's joy. There's joy that comes out of that. And Satan wants nothing more but to take that joy and just squeeze it, make nothing out of it. You know, let me even get more specific. Dude, I'm just feeling like standing on a chair. Go for it. Okay, here we go. it's about the Holy Spirit. When he robs us of our joy, what's really happening in our lives is he is constricting the power of the Holy Spirit. Because all of these things that I'm teaching you about this morning flow from the Holy Spirit. My joy and my gratitude flow from the Holy Spirit. It's God living in me. You know, there's no other explanation. Why would I be thankful unless God lives in me? Right? Okay, so we're going to just carry on here. That this is what God is saying, right? That this is Jesus. Like I said, he doesn't want us to hear this, right? So just try to focus. I'm trying to say that it's about joy, right? This is the joy. Thank you, Lord. We just want to hear your word today. And if what I'm saying is not true, read the Bible. Let's read the scriptures, because I've told you this many times. Check what's being said, no matter who is speaking. Check what the word of God says. Okay, we're going to sing a song. Yeah. What a powerful name it is. You were. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a powerful name it is.
Nothing can stand against. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus.
Declare it.
You have no rival. You have no equal. Now and forever, God, you reign. Yours is the kingdom. Yours is the glory. Yours is the name above all names. You have no rival. You have no equal. Now and forever, God, you reign. Yours is the kingdom. Yours is the glory. Yours is the name above all names. What a powerful name it is. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, our King. What a powerful name it is. Nothing can stand against. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus. What a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a powerful name it is, nothing can stand against. What a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus.
Your house.
No thing can stand against, Lord God. This is your house. Your house, and we praise your name, Jesus. You, Holy Spirit, are the Spirit welcome here. No other spirit is welcome here. Jesus, we claim this space for you and you alone. All other spirits, we bind you and shackle you in the name of Jesus. This is Jesus' house. Jesus' house. Jesus' house. This is Jesus' house. Praise you, Jesus.
Declare the peace of heaven in this place, the shalom of heaven, your holy presence, your holy presence.
Or easy. Those are hard things, but and I meant what I said. Read the word. Read the word. I'm doing my best to preach the word and tell you what I believe, how I think the Holy Spirit is showing and teaching me what the enemy does to steal from our lives. The third thing was joy, right? He tries to steal our joy. He just tried to do that. He did. I could feel the joy literally just draining from me, right? But Holy Spirit, come right now. Yeah, greater is he who's in me than he who's in the world. And he can replace that joy. So if you're struggling with that today too, that's the source of it. And that's what I was trying to say. The source of our gratitude and the source of our joy only comes through the Holy Spirit. And sometimes the hose is kinked and we don't get the fullness of that joy. We just got to pray, Lord, open it up again. And you have your way because nothing else matters. The fourth thing I wanted to say is that he steals our purpose. He steals our purpose. He steals our joy. He steals our purpose. God created us to be here for a reason. There's a purpose. Every single one of us has a purpose. Every single one of us has been called by God. In the New Testament, we talk about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. He's given gifts to every one of us. They're not the same gifts, but they're so that we work together and so that the church as a body gets to function, you know, powerfully. The power that is ours is because we work together. And we have a purpose. And what Satan really wants to do is steal your purpose. And maybe you've noticed this sort of an observation that I have, especially working, you know, in the kitchen and on the streets, that there's a lot of people that have no purpose anymore. And a lot of people who don't know Jesus, most people don't really have a purpose. They're just going through life. They're going through the motions. But that purpose has been stolen. A purpose has been stolen. Because it's exactly where the enemy wants us to be. He wants us to think that there's nothing we can do. You're not of any use. You just sit there for the rest of your life, just breathe in and breathe out, but there's nothing you can do to help the cause of Christ. And that's such a big lie. I know a lot of people, you know, if I could change something in people's lives, it'd probably be the number one thing I'd want to see changed in their lives is that they have a purpose again. They've lost the purpose. They're hollow, they're dead inside. And it's partly because, mostly because they don't know Jesus and they don't know that Jesus has placed them on the earth for something to do. You're here for a reason. A lot of people live their lives like they're living in that old movie Groundhog Day, right? They get up in the morning and it's like 10 in the morning. And, you know, I mean, they live in this little tiny room and they go at 6 o'clock at night and they buy their 12-pack of beer and they drink that until they're in a stupor and they fall asleep. And then they wake up at 10 o'clock in the morning and they got a hangover. And around 4 o'clock, they walk to the liquor store again and they buy the 12-pack of beer and they drink till they're in a stupor. And then they wake up again at 10 o'clock in the morning. Like, this just goes on and on and on. And, you know, I'm going to try to get to the point here today, but just to tell you, you know, that Jesus doesn't want it that way. He's got so much more for you. He's got so much more for all of us. He redeems us. He doesn't leave us in the pit. He doesn't leave us cursed. And he says, there's something I want you to do for me. I created you for that purpose. I created you so that you'd use your gifts. You don't believe this. Some of you aren't believing this. You're not living it. You don't know it. But you are here because God put you on this earth to be powerful. To use, yeah. You have gifts. You have gifts that we cannot allow the enemy to rob this body of. Are you hearing me? These are gifts that you've given. You can't not use them. We need them. We need them to be employed. We need them to be used. And we need to stop living like we're in a zoo. And that's sort of the best way I can describe it. I love zoos. I like going to zoos. I like taking my grandkids to zoos. But I got to admit, there's something about a zoo that's not natural. I know it's a great place to see tigers. I love seeing tigers. But a tiger really is meant to roam. A tiger is meant to hunt. A tiger is not meant to be stuck in a cage. And the same is true for an eagle. You know, there's eagles, but there's a net over instead of a sky, there's a net. An eagle is meant to soar. And all I'm trying to say to you today is it's time that we stop living like we're in a zoo, and it's time that we start doing what we were intended to do, what you were created to do, and what God hardwired you to do. Yeah. Amen? You got a purpose. You've got a purpose. And so I'm going to just jump to the next thing, and then we want to have some time for ministry too today. But, you know, the fifth thing that Satan loves to steal is our inheritance. You have an inheritance if you belong to Jesus Christ. That inheritance is a life that has joy and peace. It's an inheritance that promises us an eternal life where we're going to live with him forever. It's an inheritance that says no matter what you've done, you can be forgiven and that he restores you. Someone said to me this week, it's actually the pastor of Crossroads, said to me, you know, Stan, either you are 100% forgiven or you are 100% not forgiven. It's one or the other. And God says that when you repent and you turn to me, you are forgiven, and I don't even remember your sins anymore. But know this, that Satan wants to steal your inheritance. He wants to steal your future. He wants you to think that you've got nothing to live for, that there's no potential for you, and it isn't true. It is not true. And here's where we get to the Jesus part of this. We kind of touched on it throughout, but that Jesus came so that all of those things that the enemy tries to steal from us, that he can't steal them. He doesn't have a right to it. You understand that? Jesus says, I have the authority. Satan doesn't have that authority. He cannot steal your identity. He cannot steal your innocence, because I'm going to restore that to you. I restore you perfect innocence. You are pure in my sight. I give you an identity. You are a child. You are a child. You're a child of the one true King. And that's who you are. You are a son of God. You're a daughter of God, because I say it. The enemy cannot take that identity away from you. I will restore the joy. You're going through a depression or a hard time. You're struggling. Jesus restores that. He says, I'm going to give you an influx, a power of my Holy Spirit. You're going to feel the gratitude. You're going to feel the joy well up inside of you like a spring, because that's what I want to do for you. And a purpose. I'll give you a purpose, Jesus says. You are fellow workers in the kingdom, my kingdom. Amen? Here's the purpose. Our purpose is to go into all the world and to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. Only Jesus, here's the message, only Jesus can restore what's been stolen from you. I want you to just take a minute. Maybe someone go get Lenny for me. Is Annie here? Come on up here. Just want you up here and actually... Ray, you come up here too, and you'll understand why in a minute. I want you, though, while this is happening, just I want you to think about, do a little bit of inventory in your life, and answer the question, what's been stolen? I don't want you to speak it out loud. I just want you to think about this. What has the enemy stolen? Maybe you know what he's tried to steal. You know, what's been in that purse that he snatched and took off with? A relationship, time, years that have been wasted, money. What is it? Because I think it's important we identify this morning. I'm going to wait a second here. Just think about this. Lord, just show us. God, sometimes we just wake up and we go, wow, how did I end up here? How did all of this get pilfered from my life? And I just pray right now in the name of Jesus that you'll show us what's been taken and how you want to replace it. So just make that your prayer today. Just pray that. Because one thing that I know for sure is that Jesus says, even though the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, I've come that you may have life and that you may have it abundantly. He says, I came as a good shepherd. And you know what else he says? And I don't really have time to get into all of it, but here's something that Satan can't steal. We've talked about some of the things he can steal. You know what he cannot steal? He cannot steal sheep. He cannot steal sheep. Do you have that on, Chad? Just the verses, I think it's 27 and 28. I'm going to just conclude with that. He can't steal sheep. He can try to steal all kinds of stuff from you. He can't steal you. He says, no one can snatch them out of my hand. These are my sheep. I'm a good shepherd. I am the way. I'm showing you how to live. No one can snatch them. I give them eternal life. They shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. And then the next verse. As if he says the next verse because it's like, if you didn't hear it the first time, I'm going to say it twice. No one can snatch you out of my hands because my Father who has given them to me is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hands. You say amen?
Amen.
He cannot snatch you from the Father's hands. He cannot snatch you from his hands, the hands of the shepherd. So, what was stolen from you? I want to show you three people that, guys, they don't know what I'm doing here, like normal around here. But these are three people that, in my estimation, had a lot stolen from them in their lives, and God has returned it. That's why you're up here. Three people who, you know, Lynn, everything was taken from you. The whole purse was stolen. You just finished telling me earlier today that you were, people tried to murder you. That's true. And it's no big secret. You did drugs, lots of them, and you were a prostitute, and you're not anymore. And that's all I want to say about this is that God's restored it, right? Whatever was stolen. Everything was stolen. Everything was stolen. And here's the thing, too. You don't necessarily get, you know, if your purse gets stolen, you don't necessarily get everything back that was stolen in the purse, but you'll get better. It won't be any worse. Whatever God gives you, he's going to restore it, and it'll be more. It'll be double portion. Everything was stolen from you, everything. And I am just, you know, and I can say this on behalf of the leadership, too, but I'm so proud of you. Lenny is now working in the kitchen. Lenny is now praying for people. She said to Crystal this week, you know how you guys, I know I'm taking some liberties here, but you know how you guys sometimes put your hands on people and pray for them? Well, I'm doing that now, right? I'm not putting words in your mouth. Okay. What was stolen in Lynn's life has been replaced. I don't know Ray that well, but I know from what I read, Ray, you spent a number of years or some time in prison. 8 months. I'm guessing that there's a lot of stuff was stolen in your life. 10 years. Wasted life. Wasted in your son?
My home, time, money.
The enemy stole that. Yeah. And you ended up in prison. But look where you are now. You are the leader of Lazarus House. Praise you, Jesus. A very, very highly paid job, by the way. No? I mean, this guy works for almost nothing, and he is caring for men in our community, and he's mentoring them, and he's discipling them, and God is putting you in a place, Ray, and I just speak this into your life, a place where you have authority, a place where what has been stolen from you has been returned to you, a place of honor. You are honored here, and you are honored among us. Amen? Because God, you know, whatever it is, it was all taken away. God's returning it. And he's done that. Amen?
Yes, amen?
And Annie, you're a shining example of that too. You know, we don't have time for all the long testimony, but we've heard it over the years. You were involved in all kinds of stuff. You lost everything. You lost family. You lost relationships with your children. You were heavily involved in stuff indoors. You walked through doors you shouldn't have walked through. I don't think I'm stepping over the boundaries here when I say that. That's the truth, right? Right now, I don't know if you know this or not. Probably you already know it, but Annie's working at this petition, and it's a new thing that God's laid on her heart, and many of us are agreeing with this, to question whether we should be giving out 45,000 needles. 4,400, sorry. Okay, so you've got to get this. 44 a month, right? 4,400 needles are given out a month in an effort to do harm reduction, but there's a lot of harm that gets caused by that. And so there's people who are questioning that. Annie is leading that today. She's starting that off. Yeah. That maybe, and you know what? We don't all need to agree on this harm reduction thing. It's okay. But maybe it isn't the best thing to just keep on giving people the needles and all the stuff and say, it's okay, here you go. Just, you know, and maybe the harm that's, or the reduction that might be caused to them might cause harm to many other people who are finding those needles. Again, you don't need to agree with that. But Annie's doing a petition for this, and that's not really the point today. The point is just, I'm just saying that what was stolen in Annie's life, especially things like your relationship with your children, your sobriety, being clean, that all of those things have been returned by Jesus. Tenfold, she said. Amen? Yeah. Amen. And so, we're going to conclude. We want to just spend a little time this morning. And it's been a crazy morning. I'm sorry that it is, but that's, you know, God's in control. I want you to think about what you want to come to God with today and say, God, this has been stolen from me and I want it back. Is that fair? In Joel chapter 2, the prophet says that God will repay what the locusts have stolen. And some of you have been ravaged, right? Some of us have lost a lot. I think it's time that we come to Jesus, the Good Shepherd today, and say, I want it back. I want it back. I want the time back. I want the position back. I want my innocence back. I want my identity back. I want my joy back. And so I'm going to ask just some of our leaders. We're going to stand in three groups. So Ray, why don't you stand there, and Lynn and Annie, and maybe Barb and Tim and Crystal, any of the leaders that we have, we got 8 leaders, I want you to stand with them, and then I just ask you guys to close your eyes, and Kirsten's going to sing just a song in the background, just as we think about this. And I want to encourage you to come for prayer. Here's the deal. If you lose your purse, or you let me make it a bike, because I don't have a purse. If you lose your bike, and you go, oh my goodness, someone stole my bike. It's no longer in the yard. But that's all you do? You're never going to find your bike back. Right? Like, I know enough about stolen bikes that if your bike is stolen, you better go look for it. And if you go look for it, you might find it. And that's really what we're doing right now. You don't need to look for it. If you decide you want to go home or this isn't what you want to do or you feel uncomfortable with that, that's your choice. But sometimes we need to look for what's lost. We need to search for what's been stolen. And we need to have the courage to come for prayer and say, okay, Jesus, you say that you are the good shepherd. You say that you're going to fill my purse back up with the stuff that's been missing. You're going to fill my life with joy and with purpose and with an inheritance that I know that I've been missing. We want to give you that opportunity to do that today. So we got 3 people here, 2 people here, 3 people here. Maybe Darcy. Is Darcy gone? Oh, yeah, there we go. Okay, Darcy didn't quite leave. Okay, we got at least 3 groups of 3. Let's just bow our heads, and then we'll just sing this song, and I invite you to come and bring this to Jesus. Thank you, God. God, you care about every one of us. And you're the Lord who restores. You don't see us as unredeemable. You see us as your sons and your daughters. And you so much just want us to get on our feet and to put our trust in you. And we want to do that today. And as we do an inventory of our lives, we think about the things that are missing, the things that still pain us today. We think about what's been stolen. It's encouraging to see three people stand in front of us that are good examples of how you've restored and even more. You've given back and even more, that there's a double portion, that you're a God. There's nothing that you want and there's nothing you can't do. You're God of the impossible. You can restore our name. You can restore time. You can make us valuable again in your kingdom work. You can restore our joy. And so today, we're going to do a hard thing. We're going to go looking for the bike. We're going to come to you. We're going to acknowledge that things have been stolen from our lives, that the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but that you came to give us eternal life, life abundantly. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
I'd like to say, with losing everything in my body and my soul, and I even lost my mind, like for 20 years. But I would like to say, since I've had salvation and started coming to church and let the Lord in my life, I'm being restored. I've got my brains back. Thank God. So yeah, Jesus is the love of my life, and I'm so thankful and grateful for each and everybody sitting here. You've all helped me, and there's a better way than being on the street, that's for sure. And I didn't even know that world existed, but I'm in that world now, and I just love it. There's so many good people in there, and the Lord brings us all together and puts us in special places. I love my job. I love my pastors. I love everybody in this church, and I'd just like to thank you all for my health. Thank you very much.
Amen. Why don't we stand? Let's sing. And if you want to come forward, now's the time. Come.
You hold my every moment. You call my raging sea.
Lord.
I believe you're more than enough for me.
Just you can just stand and wait. There'll be more people coming. Just come.
Jesus, you're all
it's time, right? Thank you, Jesus. Nothing is impossible. So if you think it's impossible, nothing's impossible for God.
You hold the world
Come, let's pray together. Let's reason together. Thank you, Jesus.
Nothing is impossible for you. Nothing is impossible. Nothing is impossible for you. You hold the world in your hands. I believe you're my healer.
Sing it.
I believe you are. I believe you're my portion. I believe you're more than enough for me. Jesus, you're all I need.
More than enough for me. Jesus, you're all I need. More than enough for me.
Amen. I know that there's more of you that want to come, so just come. Don't hesitate. Don't be afraid. I'm going to give you a parting blessing. Just give you the word of God as you leave that is meant to encourage you and to strengthen you. Go in the power of God. Amen? Go in the power and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord says, bless you and keep you. May the Lord cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you. May he restore all that's been taken from you. In the powerful name of Jesus Christ. Amen? Let me hear you. Amen? Bless you.